Bless God. I'm going to do something tonight that I've rarely done. It's been maybe a few times in my life over the years, but this is the third time that I've spoken this message. The first time, it has not even been played yet. I did it for radio. It's going to be playing on 300 and plus radio stations across the country at Easter time. And then I spoke it during our revival services at Summit this past week. But I really feel on my heart, this is a message for the Church of Jesus Christ. Yes, it has application to all of us that are here tonight. It's not just exclusively for Times Square Church, but for the body of Jesus Christ. This is a prophetic word. Now, when I say prophetic, I mean it's a word that I believe God has given to me. He's spoken it to my heart. And it's based in Scripture on what He has done, what He does do, and what He's planning to do in the future. It's based on the character of God and how He has worked with nations and peoples in the past, about what He does when we find ourselves in certain situations. Now, if anybody speaks prophetically, the word has to be able to stand the test of Scripture, the witness of leadership in the church, and the witness of the Holy Spirit in your own heart. If anybody really does speak, a lot of people stand up today and say that they're speaking prophetically, but they're afraid to be tested by the Scriptures or to be examined by those in leadership. But if somebody is speaking on God's behalf about something that the Lord is about to do, or it's in his heart to do, they're not afraid to have that word examined. I'm not afraid to have you examine the things that God's given me to speak. And you're free to accept it or to reject it. But look for the witness of Scripture and look for the witness of the Holy Spirit. Because I believe that God's put something on my heart. I have carried this weight in me for the last couple of weeks or so. And I'm very, very thankful that Pastor Tim would have me here tonight and allow me to deliver this word in this sanctuary. And for those that are listening online too as well, I would ask you, please, if you bear witness to what you're about to hear, get it out to as many people in the body of Christ as you can, especially those that are struggling in unbelief or are living in a state of failure or a sense of, I don't know if my life is ever going to amount to anything, and where was Jesus Christ when I called to him and I needed him? That's what this word is about this evening. And I've called it an invitation to the second table. An invitation to the second table. Father, I just thank you, God, with all my heart tonight. Lord, I do have a wholesome fear of you in my heart. And I see in the Old Testament in particular, the warnings that you give to those who stand before the people and say, thus says the Lord, if you have not spoken. God, I have an honest and sincere fear of you in my heart, and I would never want to stand in this pulpit or any other place and claim to speak prophetically if you have not spoken to my heart. But I have a confidence that I have heard from you. I have every witness in my heart and from the text of Scripture that this is from you. I've walked with you a long time, Lord, and I do know your voice. And I do know when you're about to do something, God. Over the years, you have spoken to me about things in the future before they happened, and you've never failed me, not even one time. So Lord, thank you tonight, God. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for this wonderful church. Thank you for Pastor Tim and Cindy and the family, God. I ask for your continued protection upon them. God, that you would keep Pastor Tim, keep his heart, keep his physical body. God, keep him speaking the word that you have given him in this pulpit. Thank you, Lord, for the reach of this church. You have truly prophetically spoken about this church before there was an internet, that a time of crisis was coming into this world, a time of encroaching darkness, and this pulpit would become a lighthouse and its beam would go all over the world. God, you described what we didn't understand. We heard it, but we didn't know what it was. But today we do. We look at it on the screen and we're welcoming people from all these different countries throughout the world. It's exactly what you spoke about this pulpit and about this church. Oh God, thank you that you will bring us to the fullness of what you intended this church to be and this pulpit to be, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for a pastor that seeks you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you're speaking to his heart and you will continue to do so in the days ahead. We give you praise and glory, God Almighty. When we finish this race that you've set before us, we want to be able to say as Paul, I have done what I was called to do. I ran the race that you set before me. And there is henceforth a crown of righteousness laid up for me, and not for me alone, but for all those who have loved your appearing. Oh, Jesus Christ, we love you. Holy Spirit, we love you. Father, we love you. And we ask, oh God, would you bear witness to this truth? Would you bear witness in our hearts? Would you give people the power to get up and move forward tonight, God, who need to do so? Lord, thank you. Would you empower this old body one more time? Would you override my mind and my frailty, and God, begin to speak in a way, Lord, that only you can. Visit every heart, every home, every place, God. Give strength, Lord, to the weak and the weary. And we thank you for it, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. An invitation to the second table, John chapter 12, verses 1, 2, 9, and 11. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead. I love that. Whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at table with him. Verse 9. Now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. Verse 11, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. Because of Lazarus, many went away and believed in Jesus. I love the thought that they're at another table, they're sitting and they're obviously having a meal together, and people are just cramming into the house and they're visiting, not just to see Jesus, but to see a man that Jesus Christ had brought back from the dead. And this is a legitimate question that the church of this hour must answer. Because of us, are many, after seeing us, going away and believing on Jesus Christ? It's a legitimate question that we must ask ourselves when somebody visits my house, when somebody engages with me in a conversation. Do they see something in me that would convince them that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? That he has all power, that he can change any life that he wants to change? Have we actually been given supernatural ability to live? Can you and I once say to the people around us, I once died, but because of Jesus Christ, I live? I was dead in this area of my life. I was dead to the future. My marriage was dead. My heart was dead. My hope was dead. My future was dead. I just didn't feel like I had any hope for the future or anything ahead of me. But Jesus Christ touched my life, and I came back to life in a place where I had once died. Do we have a clear story of having been brought out of one state and being into another by the power of God? That's called a testimony. Can you truly say that? Can I truly say that? Can the church of this generation actually say that to the society around us? Hey, I've got to tell you, I used to be dead, but now I live. This is the kind of a man or woman I used to be, but by the power and the grace of God, this is who I am today, and this is who I believe I'm going to be tomorrow. Can we honestly say that? And if people sit at our table, do they walk away saying, Jesus Christ must be the Son of God? Because only God could make that kind of a difference in a person's life. When people come to see us in church, and we sit in church, what do they see when they see us? And I can't help but think of all the churches around America today, for example, in the Western world, obviously, but in America in particular. You think of so many towns have a church literally on every corner. And when the people come in on Sunday morning, if they should visit, what do they see in that place? Now, I want to suggest, I'm going to tell you what they see, because Lazarus had once before sat at the table with Jesus. In the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 and 39, it tells us, now it happened as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now I call this the first table. This is the table where you know, Martha heard about Jesus and she invited him to her house. And we have to assume that not only Mary, but Lazarus was also there because he became known as the one you love. Jesus, the one you love is sick. Jesus must have told him he loved him. He must have understood that Jesus loved him, but it's still the first table. This table is not bringing anybody that we have witnessed in the scripture to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, because Lazarus is still very much alive. And many, many people are still at the first table sitting. What was Lazarus's testimony at this first table? He could say, well, I have opened my heart and invited Jesus into my life. That was true. He loved Jesus and he knew that Jesus loved him. He sat at table with Jesus. He heard his word. And he knew his words were life and truth. And he probably knew it was everything he was looking for all of his life. He could say, I've invited him into my heart and into my home. And it's just wonderful. And many people in the church world are like that today. You can honestly say the same thing. I've invited Jesus Christ into my heart, into my home. He sits with me at table in the morning. I open his word. I hear his words. I love him. He loves me. But that's still the first table. Not many, if anybody, were coming to Christ because of that table. But then one day he died. And Jesus let him die. Isn't that something? They brought him a message and said, oh, they sent to Jesus, he whom you love is sick. And Jesus says, well, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. He didn't say he wasn't going to die. He said something's about to happen in his life, and what's about to happen is for the glory of God, because I'm going to raise him in the way that only God can. And I'm going to do something in his life that only God can do. Can you imagine sitting with Lazarus at the second table? Can you just imagine that? I don't know about you, but what would you be asking him if you came to see him? When did you die? That'd be an interesting question, talking to a man who's living. When did you die? What did being dead feel like? Where did you go when you died? And how did you come back to life? And Lazarus would probably say something like this, I died when I completely lost heart. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 5, speaking of the people of God of Isaiah's time, Isaiah said, the whole head is sick and the whole heart faints. There are times in life when we lose heart. I've been there. I know what that feels like. I died when I lost heart. And maybe you're thinking tonight, maybe there's some area in your life where you just lost heart. You lost heart for the work of God. Maybe you lost heart for your passion to even come to the house of God. Maybe Lazarus in the beginning was very, very passionate about Jesus Christ coming to his house, but over time, maybe it got less and less and less and less and less. When did you die, Lazarus? I died when I lost heart. I died when I didn't see a future. I died when it just looked so hopeless in front of me. Lazarus could say, I died when the light of my eyes went out. David the psalmist once said in Psalm 38, verse 10, my heart pants, my strength fails me, and as for the light of my eyes, it's also gone from me. I died when I didn't see a future. I died when my plans failed in front of me. I died when I couldn't see a way out of my dilemma. I just died when I lost heart. I died when I couldn't see my way forward. And he could say, I died when the last thing from my lips was a cry. I don't know about you, but I've been there. When I remember a season in my life where I couldn't utter anything other than a groan. A cry. I tried to pray and I couldn't pray. I remember standing in a church one time and opened my mouth and nothing would come out. I was at the end of my strength. I all that was left was a cry. Jonah said these words, out of the belly of Sheol I cried. And in chapter 3, verse 3 of Jonah, he said, it was when the flood surrounded me. I was just so surrounded by circumstances that were against me that I just felt like I was going to die. But Lazarus could say it, but it wasn't my cry. I think the last thing on his lips was the name of Jesus. I really do. Jesus. I don't know if he could pray anything else. I don't know if he had any other heart or any other vision for the future. Just the name of Jesus. But Lazarus could say it wasn't my cry to Jesus that brought me back to life. It was when I heard him crying out to me. When I heard his cry for me. There's something you need to know tonight, but the cry of Jesus for you is much deeper than your cry for him. His cry to bring you and I out of every place of death and captivity, his cry for us to become his church, an indisputable testimony of the power of God to give resurrection life to those who belong to Christ. This cry from the heart of God is much deeper than anything you could ever cry out to him. And this cry comes not when we're strong, not when we're sending out messages and saying, you need to come quick because I'm sick. This cry comes for us when we don't have anything left, when we have no strength, we can't get out on our own, we don't see a way into the future. Then suddenly, when everything else is gone, when every other voice around us is saying, too late, so sad, too bad, we had hope for him, but now it's all over, he's dead 4 days, he stinks, he's in the grave. When every other voice has lost its effect or its power or its hope for the future, there's one last voice that comes louder than all of the rest. And it doesn't call us when we have a chance of getting up on our own. It calls us when we have no chance, we have no future, we have no strength, we have no power apart from the resurrection life of God through Jesus Christ within us. He calls us out of wherever we have laid a stone over our lives, or somebody else has rolled a stone there and says, there's no hope for you. There's no way out of this. There's no chance of a future. You cried out and he didn't come. It's when your cry is gone, you and I don't have a cry left. That's why there's hardly any prayer meetings left in the Church of Jesus Christ in America today. I was speaking to the head of a denomination a few years back, and he said, Carter, he said, I am so ashamed of my denomination. I said, why? We have 56,000 churches in America, and I have found 23 prayer meetings. The cry is gone. The stone is rolled. People don't believe that God answers prayer anymore in much of the testimony of Christ in this nation. Everybody's sitting at the first table. But is it possible that God has allowed this to happen so that we would become desperate and cry out to him one more time or listen to his voice when he cries out to us? It's not my cry. We sometimes think it's my cry that's going to make the difference. And perhaps sometimes it does. But there's a cry louder than ours. I love the fact that in the graveyard, it says he cried with a loud voice. There were all these voices. There was weepers and wailers and prognosticators and people saying so sad, coming to worship as they saw it. All this stuff is going on. Even in the name of God, yet and one voice rises above all the others. The voice of the Lord is more powerful. The voice of the Lord stands upon the seas. The voice of the Lord breaks down the cedars. The voice of the Lord causes even life to be born where life can't be born. And he cries out, Lazarus, come forth. Three words, that's all. Lazarus, come forth. I think of how many people have died while in association with Jesus today in churches, sitting on every corner, and yet drawing so little. But I happen to believe with all my heart, in this last day, Jesus is calling his people one last time out of death and lethargy into life in him. He's calling us. He's calling his church. Oh, beloved church of Jesus Christ, God is calling you one more time. The voice of the Lord is calling his people out of all death and back into life again in him. Now I'm going to tell you why he's doing that. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, the scripture says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. There's a yearning in this world. There's a cry in the hearts of many people who don't know Christ. They don't know God. They don't know the Son of God. Verse 21 and 22, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We know the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. The whole of this world is yearning for something that only God can answer and only God can give. Yes, they're looking all over. They're looking for any place they can find it. And there's a rising anger even in society because they're not finding in anything this world has to offer. The whole of creation groans today to see the presence and the power of God in the people of God. And Jesus Christ is calling his church one last time before he comes. I believe that with all of my heart. And the writer of Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15 says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. If you hear him calling you, if you hear him calling your name, if you sense one more time that wooing, that drawing of the Holy Spirit, when God begins to call his church, don't harden your heart against it. Get up and move forward. I remember many, many years ago, I was visiting a church of about 700 people, fairly affluent Pentecostal church. And my wife and I were just visiting there on a Sunday morning, and I'm sitting in the middle section near the back. The pastor preached a fairly impassioned message about giving your future into the hands of God and just living for God and letting God use your life. And then at the end, he had everybody stand and he gave an altar call for those who want to give their futures into the hands of God. And I'm a new believer in Christ. And nobody moved. And I was standing there thinking, what's wrong with these people? They're raised in Christian homes. I wasn't. They all have big Bibles. I don't. They have really nice clothes. I look pretty rough. I'm probably just finished working a day or two before, whatever the situation was. And just, I mean, nobody moved in the whole church. 700 people, and the call has come to yield your life and your future into the hands and the purposes of God. And I'm standing there, and suddenly my heart starts pounding. And I remember thinking, oh, God, you can't mean me. I remember thinking, Pastor Tim, Lord, if you need me, your kingdom is on fumes. I'll tell you straight out. Like, I got a really bad temper still. I'm selfish to the core of my being. I'm a new believer, but you know, the old things, they pass away, just some take a little while. I've just got a lot of stuff going on here. And I'm fighting to get through my stuff, and I'm not even sure how deep I want to go into this whole thing. And yet my heart is pounding. God, you can't mean me. But I ended up getting out of my seat and I walked down the aisle to the altar, and it was only one other guy, a Mideastern guy in a green suit, I still remember, and there's me and him at the altar. And I broke down. I wasn't a weeper. And I got down on my knees and I began to weep. And I just said, God, I have nothing to give you. If you need a bad temper, I'm your man. I'm selfish. And I don't like people. For real. What a candidate for the ministry I was. I said, I have nothing. But if you can use nothing, you can have my life. You can have my future. You've got it all. If you can use nothing, you can have me. See, that was his cry for me. It wasn't my cry for him. It was his cry for me. Do you understand? I responded to his cry for me. I didn't respond with strength. I didn't respond with a plan. I didn't respond with a resume. I didn't respond with certificates on the wall. I responded with nothing, absolutely nothing. You know, I had the privilege of preaching at that church about 3 years ago. They invited me, which was so ironic, and they didn't know I was ever there. And when I got up on Sunday in that church, and I started by saying, it's so good to be back again. And everybody's looking at everybody like, when was he here? And then I told the story, and I said, the last time I responded, I knelt right there, and I said, when I'm done, I'm going to close my Bible and my notes, and I said, I'm going to go back to that spot, and I'm going to give the last tithe of my life to God. Last time I knelt there alone, and I said, I've been all over the world. Today, I'm hoping that when I go back to that spot, I won't be alone this time. And I went back, well, I was finished, I closed everything, I went back and I knelt in the same place and I gave God, as I saw it, the tithe of the rest of my life, still feeling like I'm not bringing you something, I'm bringing you the same nothing that I've always been, and I'm just asking you to use the rest of my life. And when I opened my eyes, there's at least 200 people on their knees sobbing and weeping all around me from that same congregation. Today, if you can hear his voice, you see, this country, this world needs the church of Jesus Christ. But they don't need us at the first table. They don't need us just as a people in association with Jesus. Do you understand? Association with Jesus, yes. Yeah, I know him. Yeah, he's come to my house. Yeah, I know his word. Yeah, I know he loves me. That's all wonderful, and that can get you into heaven. But that's not the testimony that's going to win this generation to Christ. The testimony that will win this generation to Christ was, I used to be dead, but now I live. I used to be blind, but now I see. I used to be wounded, but now I'm healed. I was captive, but now I'm free. I had no ability to do thus and thus, but now by the grace and the Spirit of Almighty God, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead has also quickened my mortal body. And the person that I am is only because of Jesus Christ inside of me. And what God has done for me, God can do for you. That's the testimony. The scripture says, because of Lazarus, many people went away and believed in Jesus Christ. This is the opportunity for the church's finest hour in America, in my opinion. This is the finest moment for the church. If we can hear the voice of the Son of God, my beloved bride, you know, there's a scripture that in the Old Testament says, who is this coming out of the wilderness leaning on her beloved? It's the church of Jesus Christ. It's the blood bought, redeemed by the Son of God on the cross 2,000 years ago. It's not by might. It's not by our works. It's not by our careers. It's not by our success. It's not by our eloquence. It's by the mercy and grace of Almighty God. I heard his voice. I heard his voice. I heard his voice. I heard him calling me. And I got up from where I was. Lazarus, come forth. I got up from where I was. I was still all wrapped up. I was still stunk like a dead man. But I don't care. I heard him calling me out of the grave and into life. What did you do, Lazarus? What did you do? I moved towards the sound of his voice. That's all I could do. I didn't come running out. My feet were wrapped up. I waddled out. I didn't speak. I couldn't speak. My face was all wrapped up. I didn't raise my hands. I couldn't. My hands were wrapped up. But I waddled out as best as I could. And the next thing I heard from his mouth was, loose him and let him go. Let him go. And when you hear the voice of God, that's the first thing that begins to happen. The old grave clothes begin to unravel. They come off. Your hands get free. Your voice gets free. Your eyes can see. You start to breathe a new way in your lungs. There's new strength in your step. You are raised out of the power of death by the life of Jesus Christ within you. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Glory to the name of Jesus. You know, it says about Lazarus, I didn't read one verse on purpose in John. It says, now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, that's Lazarus, or Jesus rather, and they came not only for Jesus' sake, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. You imagine being raised from the dead, and people are plotting to put you to death. David said in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, through, thank God we don't stay there, we walk through there. I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. He didn't say you prepare a table in the absence of my enemies. No, in the presence of mine. They can be all around you with their swords drawn. All they can do is butter your bread for you. That's all they can do with that sword. It's all they can do. Lazarus is at a table with, a lot of people don't respond to that second table because they fear the repercussions of it. But there's nothing to be afraid of. When you're in the hand of God, you will find out that goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. This is a season not to draw back. It's not a season to hide behind a stone. It's the season to hear the voice of God and to come out of every place of darkness and death and weakness. You know, there's areas in everybody's life where we've rolled a stone over it. Oh, I'll always be like that. So I'll grow here, but I'm not going to grow there. Not so. The areas where you are the weakest is the opportunity for the greatest testimony in your life. Not where you had it together, where you were dead. And without God, you're always going to be dead. And when you hear his voice calling you, when you hear him, I don't know about you, but I have had a long history with God. I've traveled a good part of the world, and I've seen marvelous things, but I hear him calling me again. I hear his voice again. I don't know what he has in store. But I'm going to do what I've always done. Get up and move towards the sound of that voice. Church of Jesus Christ, this is the moment to come alive. This is the moment to move. This is the time. Association with Jesus was not going to win the day that we're in now. Only resurrection with Jesus will make the difference now. People are not interested in facts. What they're interested in is, show me. Show me that what you're saying is true. We went to Cornell 2 years ago. It's almost 2 years ago now. And about 400 students came out to hear the word of God, and they were expecting a sermon. The Holy Spirit told me, leave your sermon under your chair and just talk to these kids. So they were all sitting back, arms folded, waiting for another lecture. How, generally speaking, proving through DNA that we don't come from monkeys, and everybody's supposed to slap their forehead and say, there must be a God. And one of the counselors there, when it was over, about half of the room came forward. I just shared my story. That's all. I shared my testimony. Interwove it with Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8, and gave an opportunity for young people to receive Christ as Savior and to put their futures into the hands of God. And about half the room came forward. They knelt. They wept. And when they got their confessions out that they felt they should confess their sins, so when they did, they started dancing and crying. It was just amazing to see it. We'll be back there again in a few weeks, thank God. And one of the counselors said, I've heard every speaker in this chapel for 23 years, and you were the first speaker that didn't cerebrally address these young people. You spoke to the heart. You see, and I shared a story. I shared a story. I was doing a radio interview in Washington several weeks ago, and the interviewer said, you've had incredible success in some of the Ivy League schools. And he says, how do you account for that? These gates have been locked for decades, and there's been an anti-Christian sentiment. How are you having such success, and how are you reaching these young people? And I told him, it's easy. It's really easy. Don't try to sell me a car that you don't drive yourself. So you tell these, this is how it's worked for me. This is what God's done in my life, and he can do the same thing in your life. He called, I answered. It's really that simple. I had to believe him for change because I couldn't change myself. I was getting worse by the day. I was caught in a spiral I couldn't get out of. But if anyone be in Christ, that person is a new creation. The old things pass away, all things become new. And then you open the opportunity to receive Christ, and they do. It's just amazing. He's prepared a table for me and for you in the presence of our enemies. No matter who has told you you can't, I'm telling you, God says you can. No matter who has told you you never will, God says you will, because I say you will. No matter how dead you might feel in some area of your life, it doesn't matter. The voice of God calls you, you will live. And that area of your life will become a testimony of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because the whole creation groans to see the manifestation of the sons of God, to see God in his people, to see that which we profess made visible to the people around us. Today, if you can hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't say, no, not for me. Don't say, I'm too dead, I'm too far gone, I'm too far back. Don't listen to the voices around you that are chirping everywhere. There's no hope for you. You'll always be like this. Your dad was like this. You'll be like this. No. If you can hear his voice, don't harden your heart. If the worship team would come, and what we're going to do is I want to give an altar call for every Lazarus and Lazarette that's here tonight. And you hear him calling you. Don't make it complicated. Lazarus, come forth. That's your part. That's your part. He could have yelled up from the tomb, can't, I'm all wrapped up. He could have. He didn't. Haven't you heard what they've said about me? No, he just got up and he came forth. And his life became a miracle. And at the second table, people started believing in Christ because of what happened to him. What did he do? He got up and went forth. Forward. That's what he did. Don't make it complicated. There's no 19 steps to coming back to life when you're dead. Don't make it hard. Just move towards him. So I want to give you an opportunity to do that. As I've done, as many people have done over the course of years, this is a tremendous opportunity. Let Jesus Christ do what he needs to do in your life. Let him unwrap you, let him let you go. And wherever that is, you just go. Unwrap him and let him go, he said. Loose him and let him go. And that's what God will do for you. That's what he did for me. That's what he'll do for you. Come on, just go ahead. Let's all stand. Just come. If the Holy Spirit's speaking to you tonight, you come. Make your way down here. Praise God. Just come. Don't make it hard. Don't make it complicated. Don't try to figure it out. You say, well, I'm addicted. Just come. My mind is corrupt. Just come. Man, everyone else thinks I'll never make it. Just come. It doesn't matter what anybody says. It matters what God says. Just come. Just come. And expect a miracle. Just come. Through Isaiah, the Lord says, come ye maimed, come ye blind, come ye lame. Hallelujah. Come without money and without price. Why do you labor for that which doesn't satisfy? Just come. The last day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if anyone's thirsting, come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his inward parts will flow a river of living water. Just come. Just come. Don't make it complicated. Don't think you're too far gone, too far down, too disadvantaged. You've done too much. You've done too much evil. Just come. Everyone's given up on me. Just come. Nobody believes I'll ever change. Just come. Just come. Let God do what only God can do. You know, during the worship tonight, we had this incredible touch of heaven come down. You experienced that, right? Well, the Lord always does that when he's about to speak. Just come. Let's sing one song before we pray.
How great is our God? Sing me, how great is our God? Oh, see how great is our God. How great
Father, in Jesus' name, these are your people, Lord. These are the people you died for. These are the people that you promised to indwell by your Holy Spirit. These are the people that you promised to raise from the dead. These are the people that you will lift when no one else believes in them. These are the people who will be a witness of the fact that you are God. You were raised from the dead, and you do reside in the hearts of people who love you. God, I want to thank you tonight for bringing us to a place of hopelessness that we don't try to do this in our own strength. It has to be you now. It has to be your strength. It has to be your spirit. And God, thank you that you've never failed anybody. Anybody that hears your voice and has walked towards you, you've never failed a single person. You never have and you never will. I'm asking for a fresh touch and filling of the Holy Spirit tonight, God, to come into every life. Everyone who's here, Lord. I ask you, Lord, for all the bondages of death that just literally fall to the floor right now off of people's minds, their bodies, their hearts. I ask for addictions to be broken tonight, prison doors to open, wounded hearts to be healed, blinded eyes to see. God Almighty, I ask for brand new speech to be given to those who need words as only you can speak through them. I ask for a tenderness to be put into people's hearts who really just don't even like the people around them in the city. I ask, Lord, for a testimony to be granted to your church that we would be able to say, I was dead, but now I live. I live by the power of God. I live by the grace of God. I live by the goodness of my God. I live because I moved towards him when he called me. Lord, I ask tonight that because of these people at this altar, that people in their homes, their families, their communities, their apartment buildings, and wherever it is they go, that would start to believe in Jesus Christ because of them. They would see such a change. There'd be such a heart of compassion for the struggling, Lord. Words of encouragement. Words that bring life and not death. Words that bring together and not divide. God, thank you, Lord. This is your church, Lord. And I thank you that it is, God. I thank you that in many ways we're all Lazarus. We can't do this in our own strength, and we know it. It has to be you. But what a glorious opportunity, Lord, for you to be God in us one more time. As you've always done throughout history. We believe that you're going to do one more time, one more time, one more time for each one of us here. Now you raise your hands and you tell him. You just tell him you love him. Will you do that right now? And let him tell you he loves you. Just go ahead and talk to God right now. Speak to him out loud. Don't hold it back. Don't hold it back. I hear you calling, Lord. I hear you, God. I hear your voice calling me. Here I come, Lord. I'm stepping out of darkness and death, and I'm stepping into your life. I'm moving towards the sound of your voice. Oh, Lord, this is a great chance for an opportunity for your church, Lord, in this time. Thank you, God, for these men and women. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're about to do. Give us great grace tonight. Great grace, Lord. Thank you for the tears that are here. Thank you for the lives that are changing right now, Lord, right now. Right now, as we lift our hands to you, our lives are changing. Throughout the sanctuary as well, thank you, God, for changing lives tonight. Thank you for a new heart, a new hope, a new mind, a new spirit. The promise of Scripture, that's what you promise your people, Lord. God Almighty, thank you for a supernatural life. Thank you, God, for an empowerment of the Holy Spirit to be the people you've called us to be. Jesus, thank you, God. You've never failed nor forsaken anybody that's ever cried out to you. Thank you, God, for what you're doing at this altar. Thank you for what you're doing in this sanctuary. Thank you for what's happening online tonight. Thank you for visiting people in their homes, their rooms, their dorms, wherever they are. Thank you, God, for raising your church one more time in this generation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for a testimony that you're going to raise up through each of our lives. Jesus, thank you, God, for what you're about to do. and what you're calling us into this night. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wherever God has been working, there's got to be a shout of glory in every heart. There's got to be a shout of thanksgiving in every heart. Give him a shout of glory in this house tonight. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Glory to the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you for victory. Thank you for life. Thank you for hope. Thank you for a future. Thank you for a purpose for my life. Thank you, God, for divine strength for tomorrow. Thank you, God. You're not sending me out the way I came in tonight. Thank you, God, for strength. Hallelujah. Give him a shout of glory in this house tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to the name of Jesus. Glory. Glory to the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Loose him and let him go, Jesus said. Loose him and let him go. You're loose to clap your hands. You're loose to jump up and down. You're loose to give God glory. You're loose to be the person that Christ made you to be.